Yeah, come on up and move forward if you can. We're kind of slim on our turnout today. I guess they wanted to hear a riveting message from me, but this will be riveting stories from us. And we've got to point out the fact that we are missing our third wheel.
Just imagine that she's right here.
She's missing.
Right here.
Yeah. She has fallen ill. We think it's stage fright. But I'm told it's other things. But I do need to point out that we do have an extra special guest. Tamothy is here. I was looking. You were right there. I was like, where are you? Tamothy, guys, is back. She'll be here all summer, all the way to October. And if you pray hard, she might get a full-time job here and stay around for a while. Yes. So, prayer meetings are going to be set for weekly, all-night prayer meetings. That would be so awesome. But it's so great to have you, Tamothy. And it looks like Jennifer brought a few friends as well. They are friends as well as family, right? Okay, good. So make sure you say hi. But it's great to have you guys with us. Very much so. And as you all know, those of you with Lifehouse Church, you know that today's the day that we are giving our Nepal mission trip report. Thanks to you. Thanks to you and your generosity and your prayers, this trip happened. Otherwise, without you, it wouldn't have happened. You know, we would have just dreamt about it in our dreams, and that's it. That's as far as it would have gotten. But because of you, we went on this mission trip. And before we get into things, I'd like to pray and ask God to bless. Lord Jesus, this was your mission trip. Sure, we went on it. We had some experiences, but really, it was you that was doing the heavy lifting. You did the work. You changed lives. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have gone. We would have stayed here. We would have just done what we do every day, every week, every month. We would have just kept with the routine. But because of you, you shake us out of our rut, and you put us on a plane for the other side of the planet to be a light and a witness to people that need Christ in a bad way. So God, we recognize you as the ultimate benefactor to this mission trip. And we just recognize you, we thank you, we bless you, and I pray, God, that you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so there's always that lingering question in the back of a person's mind when they hear about a mission trip to any various country of the world. And that's why. Why would you go to Nepal, in our case, versus all the other or any of the other countries or places in the world that need to hear about Christ, right? We heard that from Bob. Every soul is of intrinsic value. Every soul is eternal. So why Nepal versus somewhere else? Well, that all starts with my repeated exposure to a guy named Mike Cater. Mike and Sue Cater were doing ministry in India until India barred them from entering their country for work of the gospel. And he spent like 3 months in prison, and they revoked his visa and everything. So it was just not going to happen. And yet, he was seeing God do phenomenal things in India. And so Nepal, which is right there in the upper region of India, is far more open and willing to let him come in and set up shop and do ministry. And so he has been doing pretty intensive work right across the border from Nepal, or right across the border from India. He was in Napaljung, something like that. Napaljung was the place where he has started and has a thriving church there. And then just a week or two, I think it was 2 weeks prior to our arrival, he just started another church in Dangati. Okay? And so that's where we went, was to Dangati. Now, why is he spending so much of his life in India and Nepal? It's because what he would say at every pastor's conference I'd go to, he would have these seminars, and he'd tell people the same thing. He says, wouldn't it just make sense to invest the majority of your life reaching to the most open yet least reached people groups of the world? He says it would just be reasonable, rational, to focus on the most open and yet the least reached people. And in his mind, he is convinced that that is the Hindu culture of India and Nepal. Most open, least reached. And in Nepal, the minimal risk in sharing the gospel. And so that really caught my heart and my attention. And so that I was then reading in Acts 16, if you want to throw up Acts 16, and read this. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept from the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, we're not given much more detail than that. We don't know exactly how the Lord or why the Lord would prevent them from preaching the word. Maybe it could have been that they were preaching the word there, but they were not responding. The people weren't open. They weren't interested. They weren't willing to consider the claims of Christ. Maybe that was their indication that the Holy Spirit was keeping them from preaching the word there. It's a possibility. They were not open. So the next paragraph, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Wow. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Next slide. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. When I read that, I couldn't help but think of Mike Cater. I mean, that's exactly what he was doing. He was the man of Macedonia saying to us at every pastor's conference, come over here and help us. They're open. They're responding to the gospel. It's the least reached people group. Come and help us. And I just thought to turn a deaf ear to that would be to resist what God is doing and what this man from Macedonia is calling us to do. So I concluded, God wants us to share the gospel there. And so from there, we rallied a team, some from Decorah, some from Stonebrook Church in Ames, and we went. So that's my side of the story. Nina, what's yours? Why did you go to Nepal?
Why? Yeah. Well, other than the, of course, dramatic pull of riding on a plane for 16 hours, who doesn't want to do that? It's
yeah.
Like, movies whole time. Like, come on. Like a year or so ago, I went to South Africa with my mother and my grandma, and that was a really great experience, but it's totally different from Nepal. Like, you know, I was thinking, okay, mission trip, I've done this before, easy peasy. But we get there, and I'm like, whoa, you want me to go out and, like, talk to people? What? Not my forte, guys. You know, in South Africa, it was so many mission trips. Like, it was service projects. Like, let's go to a town and give them shoes. Let's wash their feet. Let's help them build this. You know, let's clean up that. You know, it's lots of, like, task-driven. And in Nepal, it was, here's a translator. Go out and share the gospel, which is not something that I'm really able to do very well. Or, you know, I wasn't, like, really excited about it, you know. So it was definitely totally different from South Africa, but, you know, I didn't realize that really. When I started realizing that a little bit before we went, and I was having, I was honestly having second thoughts. Natalie and I were talking, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to go. I'm not sure. I think I should drop out. But then Dad was like, "Hey, Nina, Natalie, and I, we're going." And I'm like, well, now I can't back out. So, so you know, I always think of the verse, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that's more of a, you know, like a being strong verse. But to me, it's if I can do all things, I want to do all things. You know, I mean, come on, who doesn't want to be able to do all things? So going over to Nepal was me trying to do all things. You know, God's strengthening me, and I can go do it all things. Service projects, and sharing the gospel, and you know, maybe someday I can fly. It's all out there.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, right? Like, come on. So that's kind of was my thinking. You know, I was definitely getting cold feet, but I'm going on glad that God was just like, and we're going. So you know, I'm glad that I went. It was a really great experience. No, it wasn't.
And then on Natalie's behalf, I know that the impetus initially, I guess, is the dream is to travel the world. And
yes.
I've always been fond of telling people, come to Jesus and travel the world. I mean, seriously, if I had not come to Christ, I probably would rarely venture outside of the borders of Iowa. I can't imagine why I would. I mean, really. But since coming to Christ, I have been all over the place in the United States and El Salvador, Honduras, Japan, Hong Kong, China, and now Nepal. So, come to Jesus, travel the world. So, I'm sure she had that as her initial. But on the way to Chicago to catch our flight, I asked everybody in the van, what are you believing God for? What do you want God to do in you, through you, during this mission? And Natalie mentioned she wanted to grow in courage. One of the things that was heavy on her heart, she wants to grow in courage. Well, did God give her an opportunity for that? In fact, we're now going to move into the story time, story mode, guys. And I'm going to start off with a story that Natalie was going to tell. And so this story, boy, I might need to have you throw in a few things. Because if I remember correctly, when every time that Natalie went out sharing, there was some form of opposition. Is that right?
When she was, like, after the first day, I think, that every time she tried to talk to someone would butt in and just start blabbering. And she had a very hard time, actually, getting through the entire Vange Cube.
Yeah.
So.
By blabbering, she means speaking Nepali.
Nothing that we understand.
So there's that key picture. Okay, so she would find some sort of opposition every time. And we would run into this, but she ran into it a lot. Natalie and I were teamed up with a translator on like a Wednesday. And we headed out and walking into some new territory. And the day started off amazing. I mean, we shared with a few people at a shop, which then turned out that one guy was interested in coming to Christ until we elaborated that means he is recognizing that all of the gods of Hinduism are false gods, and that Jesus is the one true God. Then after that, he wasn't so sure. He needed to think about it. We got that response all the time. But then he said, you need to come over to my school and share this. Okay, and so then he walked us across the dirt road to this school, which is all closed with a big wall and stuff, and the vice principal said, sure, why not, you know, you're American, do what you want, you know, you got a free pass, and Nepal has high regard for America, so they just gave us a free pass. So during their break between tests, I was surrounded by these blue-shirted kids sharing the gospel via the Evangel Cube, and it was phenomenal. And so we were just experiencing awesome things happening one after another, and then we came to this small shop. And at this shop, it was Natalie's turn to share the evangelism. She's very nervous, but she's working her way through the gospel using that cue. And everything is going fine when it becomes clear that the old man, you can see him very well. Just go ahead and hit the lights for a second. You can see that old man over in that corner. He's kind of on his hunched down there. He began talking, and our translator is sharing with him that many years ago, when he was a young man, he had two kids, and he started going to a church. A missionary was in Nepal, and he started taking his kids there. And then the whole village turned against him, and they began to persecute him. They wouldn't let him draw water from the well or go to work. They just came down on him hard, and he had to abandon his quest for Christ. He said that was 40 years ago. He said, nobody has mentioned the name of Jesus to me for 40 years until now. And he began to cry right there in front of us. And the translator, Jyoti, says, I'll take it from here. She says, this guy's going to be saved. She begins to share with him. And then some of the most intense opposition that we experienced during the week began to happen. A guy showed up right outside behind us with a group of about 5 to 7 others and began yelling at us. And we, of course, could not understand. Jyoti was talking to them for a while, and then she turned to us and just said, opposition. And that was kind of like the cue that they are there to stop from sharing the gospel. And, you know, in Hinduism, they are, in general, a very respectful people. But the higher up you get in the caste system, the less respectful they are of you messing with their system. And so the opposition would come from people in the Brahmin caste, which is the high priestly caste. They wanted to keep the rest of their country in subjugation to them. They were the elite. They had all the privileges and all the perks, and they wanted to keep it that way. In fact, at one point they challenged Jyoti, what caste are you from? What caste are you from? What caste are you from? Trying to put her in her place. And she would just respond, I belong to no caste. I belong to Jesus Christ. And at one point she stood up, and we thought we were leaving, but she folded her hands and stood before him and said, there is nothing you can do to me, because they are threatening her life. And it was pretty intense. And she was being so bold, I couldn't believe it. Articulated herself so courageously. It was amazing. And it just got to the point where no good could be done. And so she would just say, what was the word for thank you? Danyabad. Yep, Danyabad, Danyabad, Danyabad. You know, thank you, thank you. And we just backed away, and one of the guys followed us for a good while until we were right. And they said, you don't come ever to the street again, or it will not go well. But we went back anyway. Lied to us. Way, but we didn't go back that day. After a couple other days went by. But Natalie wanted to grow in courage. God gave her some opportunity to grow in courage.
I'm sharing a story time. Well, I think the story that I will share also involves Natalie. I mean, she's missing out. It's all about her here today.
Yeah, right.
It was one of the last days before we were leaving, Friday, and Natalie and I and one of the translators were going to go out, and we were going to go shopping and sharing. That was our plan. So we went out to the main shopping district, and we went to a dress shop where Natalie and I had gotten the dresses that, if you were here on Easter Sunday, Natalie and I were wearing them. And we were there for a while picking up Natalie's dress, which had just gotten done being tailored, and we were waiting, and the ladies there were just super fun, and we were just having fun. They had a little boy who was dancing for us. That was great. You know, we were just having fun. And they kept being really attached to Natalie and kept wanting her to try on dresses, more dresses. Like, she put one on, she'd take it off, and they'd be like, this one, and they'd just keep handing her dresses, and she's like, pictures. It was a lot of fun. And so at the end, we, you know, shopping and sharing. If there was no customers in the shop, we took out the Advantage Cube and shared with them. So I made Natalie do it because, you know, they were clearly very attached to Natalie. Like, there was even a point where they took a wig off of one of the mannequins and put it on her son, and then had them stand, Natalie and the son, the little boy stand next to her, and they were like, same, same. And I was like, yeah, same, totally. It was just like a blonde wig, and yeah, she was convinced they looked exactly the same, so yeah. It was funny. But so Natalie went through the Avenger Cube, and at the end, they were just like, we had heard about Jesus, you know, briefly. We kind of heard the name Christianity, but they just had no idea what it meant. They didn't know anything that Jesus had done at all whatsoever. Like, he was just a name, and that's it, you know. And so they were just overly thankful that we came, like, all the way from America and just shared with them, like, stuff that they wanted to know about, and now they knew. And they were so thankful. They just kept saying thank you, and they were just really happy. And so we invited them to church, of course, and they did come to church the next day.
We have a slide of that. The big circle. I think I've stuck that in there. The circle. People in the circle.
Yeah.
Might need to hit the lights again. And once we find it.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. We told them we were gonna wear their dresses, and they just got really excited, and it was just really great.
No.
Oh, yep. Okay, well, the red and black dress is Natalie, and then there's me, and then it's the women next to us. Yeah, in the very back. So I don't know if you can see, but yeah. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. We had actually, before that, gone to a different dress shop and had literally stood there for, like, hours waiting for something. I don't actually know what, but we were having fun there, too. They had, like, music playing, and I was just, like, dancing around, and they were just laughing at me. You know, it was just fun. The Americans dancing, when we tried to share the Advantage Cube there, didn't go over so well. They weren't really interested at all whatsoever, and just kind of was like, there's the door, see you later. So we went to the other dress shop, we bought their dresses, and we shared the gospel with them, and it went over really well. Now they did a great job.
It was very...
well,
yes.
The entire, like, Nepal team house, I was approached by one of the brothers, and he was like, I heard you dance. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, I dance. I was like, man, chicken dance is my favorite. And he's like, oh, chicken dance? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you show us. I'm like, I will show you. And then I was approached again by Jyoti, and she was like, I heard you dance. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, man, chicken dance. And she's like, oh, chicken dance? And I was like, yep. And she's like, show me. And I goes like this. Showed her the chicken dance, and she was like, oh. And so at that night, they, like, dragged me into the big team room, and we just had big chicken dance party. It was best.
It's on YouTube for the masses.
Oh, yeah, they forced me into
actually,
a
Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah,
it's on
Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah, so, yeah, it was good times. I was assured by one of the translators that she would teach the chicken dance to the entire Nepal, you know, church, or in the entirety of Don Gotti, and when I came back, it would be famous, and I would be famous. Yeah, so I was like, all right, okay, I like it, you're my favorite.
Just doing our part, right? Just doing our part.
Right? I mean, you know.
Wow. Okay. Well, the story that I have to share actually involves Nina initially. Nina and I teamed up, and we went out sharing with Maria, and we end up going to this one shop. All the shops are just a room in a house. So they'll have their house, they'll lift up their garage door, and there's their shop. We stopped by this one shop filled with ladies who did sewing work. They're seamstresses. And so we stop there, and we share the gospel with them. They respond quite positively. We go through the, after the Evangel Cube, if there's a positive response, we'll go through the picture set. And it's a much more elaborate sharing of the gospel, much more detailed. Since none of them have ever read the Bible or, you know, all they knew of was the name of Jesus. They didn't know anything about him. So the picture set was the next level. So we went through that. And so we spent quite a bit of time with these ladies there. And as I was looking at what they were doing and the awesome dresses they were sewing, I just thought, wow, that would be great to get dresses like that for Ariana and Savannah. And so I talked with them there afterwards if they would be willing to sew dresses like that, their traditional apparel, for my daughters. And they said, oh, sure, we'd love to. Okay, so we leave. Next day, I'm with this girl, Jenny. And Jenny's just really outgoing and very much of a shopper girl and stuff. So I grab her to take me to the stores downtown where I can get some fabric. Okay, so we're there. We buy fabric at one place. We go to the second place to buy fabric. Yeah, that's Jenny. That's Jenny right there. We don't have anybody on the lights. So Jenny is standing right next to me, very outgoing girl. So we go to another shop. Can you keep moving to the next slides to where we're talking with one of the shop owners. We buy Ariana's dress at this other shop. And we begin to share the gospel with him. That's him right there. Turns out he's Brahmin. And he's not too happy about us talking about Jesus. Not just because, we're kind of rocking the boat. But some Korean Christians were there earlier, I don't know how much earlier, maybe months, years, and they tried to force him to become a Christian. And so there's some animosity there towards Christians trying to bully him into belief. And so we sympathize with him greatly. We understand what that's like. That kind of tends to happen in the States quite a bit. So we engaged in a good conversation once we were able to find some equal ground there. And Jenny shares quite passionately with him, and it ended up being a positive experience speaking with this guy. So we're on our way back to our mission house, and I come across two young boys that are on their bikes. The thing is, they were on their bikes in the same spot when we left to go and get this cloth. And so they're still there, and I just said to Jenny, this is a sign from God, all right? So we stop, we ask them if they'd like to hear the love story of Jesus Christ. And they said, sure. So what happens, every time you do this, you're sharing with these people and other people who are walking by butt into your business. They stop and they start listening. And so a group forms. We get through the evangel cube and they want to believe in Jesus. But by the time I'm actually done, this huge group wants to hear about this Jesus. They want to hear the evangel cube. So I said, okay, guys, hold that thought. I'm going to share now with the rest of this group. Well, by the time I get done and elaborate that this means you are recognizing that Jesus is the one true God of your life, the other gods are false gods, the first two guys said, not interested. Two new guys said, yeah. And I said, are you sure? Even after recognizing that Hindu gods are not real gods, hey, and this was the only time then in our whole week there that I personally was involved in leading some people to Christ. And so I would pray a line, she would translate, they would pray. And so it took quite a while to pray, but we did. And they turned their lives over to Christ. I had them write down in a little booklet their names, and it was Bashal and Swarov is their name. Bashal and Swarov. Now there was a bunch of others that were there, and they also wrote down their names, but they did not respond to the Lord. They just wanted the American to know their names. One of them was Saddam Hussein. Yes, Saddam Hussein was there. He was a Muslim. There's very few Muslims there, but they are growing in numbers, and he was respectful. In fact, he really wanted to hang out. And so this group here was from that group. Neither one of them are Bashal and Swarov. These guys just wanted to have their taken, with the white American. And so there they are, and the guy on my right is Saddam Hussein, believe it or not. And he actually came to church then later that Sunday. So I'm not sure what the Lord has in mind for him, but I sure hope he saves his soul. Well, so these two young guys, 16-ish in age, Bashal and Swarov, they pray to receive Christ. We go back, we celebrate, and now I need to follow these guys up. I've got their phone numbers. Well, the next day, I haven't even gotten around to it. I mean, we've been busy going to share the gospel with other people when I get back, I'm in my room kind of resting, actually. I was resting from the day's activities. And somebody says, someone is here to see you. It was Bashal and Soron. They came because they wanted to know more about Jesus. And one of the things I wanted God to do for me, through me, in me, over the course of the mission trip is I wanted God to do a miracle. Of course, I had something fantastic in mind, you know, a supernatural healing or something. That never happened. But later, I thought about, it didn't take much long for me to realize what those two young boys are doing, I've honestly never seen before. Maybe a few times, but it's pretty rare for me to share the gospel with somebody and then have them pursue me. I always have to pursue them. They're still young, they're still confused, they're still not sure. I have to pursue them. For them to pursue me blew my mind. So we engage in more conversation about what it means to believe in Christ, and they're just eating it up. Well, one of them, Bashal, says, you must come to meet my family. And that's one of the immediate follow-up steps that Mike Cater gave us was go to their house. And I said, oh, yeah. So we went down to their house. We go in, and I believe we have a picture. It's pretty dark, so you're going to definitely leave the lights off of this. But here we are in Bashal's room that he shares with his brother, and you can see his mom is right there on the left, and your left, and the dad is off the picture. And so we're going through the gospel with them, and I have, of course, Jenny is there, and boy, she's talking, and she's excited and everything, and so she's translating for me, and then after a while, she kind of just takes over, and she does that. And but at one point, she turns to me, and she says, they're Brahmins, people in the high priestly caste. And their son got saved. They respectfully listened until the mom says, well, we got to eat sometime tonight. And so they shooshed us away, but it was the most affirming experience we had with any of the Brahmins. And so now Bashal and his friend, they contact me on Facebook incessantly. I mean, they're talking to me all the time. In fact, I've got them praying for our Nepal report right now. They're praying that this all goes well. I told them I'm going to be talking about you. And so it's been really good. They came to church. Maybe you have a picture of that group photo. Bashal Soroff came to church. They brought a friend. And then by the time most of the church service was over, at some point in the Saturday morning when they have church, a whole bunch of their other friends showed up. You know, Saddam Hussein and others whose names I cannot remember or pronounce. They all showed up. Yeah, this. But it's amazing. These two guys are definitely key guys. They attract a following. And so you can be praying for them big time. Because, they will experience opposition from their immediate and extended family. It's only a question of time. And so, yeah. I gave them squirt guns. I said, I bought this from a store in the United States. Maybe you've heard of it, Walmart. They had not, and I said, thank God. So Bashal is on my right, Soroff is on my left, and then that other guy, I have no idea who he was, but he showed up. But when they came to the church service, they engaged, they sang, they even prayed. I was like, this is pretty cool. So I thought that was the neat miracle that God gave to me. Nina, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Well, you can if you wish. We don't have any time left. With this X, X marks the spot. Okay. Guys, the biggest takeaway I had from this trip was incredible need for believers, for our church, to be sharing the gospel motivated to share the gospel consistently, clearly, and courageously. We all start with a C, just for Bob. Consistently, clearly, and courageously. And it is just something that's been on my heart. It's not left me. I want to pattern my life the way that the believers there in Nepal were patterning their lives. They knew they were on a mission for God. They knew that their country was in the grips of evil and that the gospel will set them free. There was no doubt in their mind what they were here for. And so they were engaged in the gospel that would cause most Americans to throw in the towel, to say this is legalistic, or some kind of excuse to get out of it. They were living it. And I want to live it. I want our church to live it. That the gospel would be on our lips continuously and clearly and courageously. That would be a culture in our church. And so that is a big takeaway that I've brought with me. And one of the things that Bob and I have been seriously considering is revamping a little bit our outreach plan for this next year from now. And that revamping, just to kind of put it before you guys, is the last county in our upper northeast Iowa outreach plan is Chickasaw County. Quite a ways away. We've not yet developed any partnering churches there. We've thought that maybe it would be wisest and best for us to just create a mailing. And we'll mail the gospel to every household in Chickasaw County. That would preserve a lot of time and money for our church to then invest into another mission trip to Nepal over spring break. So we are seriously considering doing it again, going to Nepal the middle of March, whenever spring break falls. So that would be something God would have for you. Mark your calendar now. Start saving up some money now. Be praying now. Because we're planning on it. We'd love to have you guys join us. All right?
I just want to say one thing really quick. Just super quick. So, like, going on a mission trip, like, is not an easy thing. And I don't want people to feel like it's not their thing, so they shouldn't go. You know, if it's not, like, going out on the streets every day with a translator and sharing the gospel, that, like, that's not what I do. Like, I mean, it's not what I'm good at. You know, it's not what I'm good at. It's not what Natalie's good at. But, like, just do it. Like, you don't, even if you don't know the gospel, like, hardly at all, like, maybe you're new to this whole thing, but, you know, it's worth it. Even if you don't really know, like, you know, like, all the right things to say, it's worth it to just go, to just talk to them, because it's being an American and just realizing that you came all the way around the world just to tell them about Jesus means that Jesus is important and that they should take notice of him. So, like, even if they are rejecting you, even if it's like you're stumbling through your words and the translator has to take over, it's worth it to go. It's okay if you're not good at it. I wasn't good at it. You know, I would go through half of it and then I'd be like, here. I messed up. You do it. And you know, a lot of the times I didn't really want to share because I was afraid that I would do it wrong, I wouldn't say it right. But at the very end of the time, I just really realized that it's not, like, how well you share. It's just the fact that you're there and you are sharing. You are, like, trying to go through it because Jesus matters. Even if you don't have the money, you know, you're not good at it. I just feel like, you know, it's something you feel like would be good for you. You should go. You should just go. Just take out like $2,000. I know you all have pocket change like that laying around, so just.
Hey, GoFundMe. GoFundMe works.
Yeah. It works.
So guys, Rex, thank you, Nina. I affirm that 100%. Rex created a pretty sweet slideshow. We're going to go ahead and show that for you guys. After hearing our stories, I think some of these pictures will make sense to you. So enjoy this. And then immediately afterwards, the band will come up and play a song as we take our offering. All right, go ahead.